Morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today? All right. Is everybody awake? Good. I'm not. So let's see how we do. First off, I just want to start off by thanking everybody for making it an effort and a part of your process to come to our Bible study on Sunday morning. We have had really, really great attendance. And so before we get started with the sermon, I just really wanted to just say thank you for coming back and making that happen. Are we having Bible class next Sunday?
No,
we're not. Okay, good. You know, we want you guys to be praying for us. You know, our worship team and our ministry team, we're working really hard to try to put together an Easter program next week that will be something that can reach the hearts of the people in our community. That is something that if someone walks in here and knows nothing about Jesus at all, that they will get the essence of who he is, that they will understand that there's good reason to believe that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. And so we encourage you, invite your friends, invite your family. Julie and I are hoping that her cousin's going to be with us next Sunday. And so we just really want to encourage you to do that. So as I've mentioned a couple of times, I've been preaching through this year with the expectation that this is the year of rejuvenation. And rejuvenation is something that, as a culture, we are obsessed with. I mean, it didn't start here. It, you know, if we look back, Ponce de Leon spent so much time in Florida trying to figure out where the Fountain of Youth was. And in 2013, let me make sure I got my numbers right here, because this is insane, $261 billion. Let me say that again, $261 billion. Dollars was spent on anti-aging products and services. There is something about the idea of youth and rejuvenation that people really embrace. And if I'm honest with myself, I'm guilty. Julie and I were looking through some of the pictures I had together when we had rearranged our place, and I saw some pictures of the 23-year-old me. And I was looking, I'm like, wow, what happened to that handsome man? Where did he go? Like, I look in the mirror now, I don't see that same guy. And so there's something inside of us that is absolutely drawn to the idea of being young again, to being vigorous, to not hurting, not being sore, having just that rejuvenation, that energy. And it's a good thing, I think. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel young and alive and rejuvenated. But what about spiritual rejuvenation? What does spiritual rejuvenation look like? So in order to talk about a subject, we need to define our words, don't we? In the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it defines rejuvenation as restoring something to an original or new state. Now, we see this all the time, and we can think of examples, I'm sure. How many of you have watched This Old House? All right, example of rejuvenation, right? You take something old and you restore it to its new state. So what was the original state of man? If you talk to some people, they'll say, well, the original state of man is sin, right? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore the original state of man is sin. And while we are prone to sin, we do have a tendency to be more likely to go the wrong direction than the right direction. This was not, let me say that clearly, this was not the original state of man. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, it says, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked," and I want you to hear this part, "and they felt no shame." The original state of man was a state of freedom, free from shame, free from guilt, free from remorse, free from all of those things that weigh us down. Can you imagine living in a world where you have no guilt, where you have no shame, where there's nothing that you look back on in your life and go, ah, why did I do that? Why did I make those choices? That was the original state. That's where God placed us, and that's where God wants us to live. Well, if you know the story of Adam and Eve, you realize pretty quickly that that state didn't last very long. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 10, it says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man, 'Where are you?' he answered. 'I heard you in the garden,'" and now let's hear this, "'and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid.'" You see, the choice of being disobedient to God changed everything. It took them from a place of freedom and hope to a place where their Creator, the one who loved them with all his heart, the one who poured his soul into creating everything so that we would have this beautiful place to be, when they saw him, they hid themselves. Now, if you're anything like me, you have those moments where you're driving in the car, listening to the radio, and all of a sudden you just sigh. And you think to yourself, oh man, that thing that I did. You know your thing. We all have one. That thing that you did. And you look and you think, oh man, how could I have done that? How could I have caused another human being pain? How could I have so deeply wounded somebody else? And you may think to yourself, I sure hope nobody ever finds out about that. I sure hope nobody ever really understands what I did, because if they knew the mistakes that I made, if they knew those choices that I had made, they could never love me. They could never respect me. They could never look at me and say, that is the kind of person that I want to imitate, that is someone who looks and acts like Jesus Christ. There is within all of us this sense. Now I'm going to take a little sidebar because I want to give you some encouragement here. There is not a single thing on this earth that there is not somebody who knows what I've done. Not a single thing that I have done that there isn't somebody on earth that knows about. And I do have things in my past where I look and I think to myself, man, nobody could love me if they knew that I did that. And yet I took those things to godly men and I said, here's who I am. Here's where I've been. Here's what I've done. Here's where I got off track. Here is everything. And I don't know if God could love me. And you know what those men did? They looked me dead in the eye and said, you know what, John? I love you. I love you. And I still respect you. And you know what? God loves you. And he's forgiven you for those things. So I want you to understand there is nothing that you can do that puts you outside of the love of God. There's nothing that you can do that is unforgivable. And so don't hold those things in. Don't allow those sins in your life to be something that you allow to fester inside of you. Let them out. Now, by let them out, I don't mean go blathering them to just anybody, okay? There are people who will hurt you with your past. But I am telling you that there are godly people who you can go, who you can talk to free yourself from those burdens. But the fact of the matter is that that weakness, that longing to be free of it, is a part of us, isn't it? Isn't rejuvenation something that just fills up within you? If I say you are born again, you are born again, does that do something inside of you? Do you feel something swell up inside of you when I say that? What if I tell you you are a new creation? The old is gone and the new is beginning. If I say that to you, does it swell up inside of you? Does something grow inside of you? Because I can tell you, when Jesus Christ told me I was a new creation, the instant thought and feeling in my soul was, yes, that's exactly what I want. I want to be a new creation. I don't want that old man. I don't want to live in that lifestyle. I don't want to die knowing that my life was lived hurting people, destroying people, wearing people down and breaking them down. I want to know that my life was about living for Jesus Christ. Rejuvenation, a new beginning. The fact of the matter is that people are looking for rejuvenation everywhere. And people in the world are looking for rejuvenation in everything. You know, for men, they usually call it about a midlife crisis, don't they? Oh yeah, time to get the sports car that I can't afford because then everybody will think I'm cool. And you know what? That wife that's been faithful to me all these years, raised my children, she's not as attractive as she used to be, so I'm going to go out and get some teenage girl who's younger than my daughter so that I can feel young and vital again. And it goes both ways, right? I mean, it goes both ways. The ladies are out there looking for those young men, too, trying to, to feel young, to feel revitalized. It's rejuvenation, wanting to feel young, to feel vigorous, to have those things is such a strong part of who we are as human beings. It really is. The thing about it, though, is that they're looking for their rejuvenation in the wrong place, aren't they? Because the rejuvenation, the way they're looking for it, leaves a wake of hurt and pain. It leaves children questioning if their parent ever really loved them. It leaves a spouse that is there brokenhearted, wondering what they did wrong, what they could do better. See, when we try to recapture our youth, when we try to rejuvenate ourselves through worldly means, the only thing that happens is we destroy those around us. So we have to ask ourselves a question: where does true rejuvenation come from? And I believe that the answer supplied for us in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." You see, as Paul makes clear, the gospel is rejuvenation. The only true place to find rejuvenation is in the gospel. Without Jesus dying for our sins, Without him going to the cross and dying, there is no hope of reconciliation. Without him raising again, there is no hope of new life. And that return to the original state, free from guilt, sin, sorrow, struggles, difficulties, all of those things still remain. I want to show you guys a video. Kelly, do you have that ready? All right, let's watch this video.
Now every one of us knows that there's something wrong inside. We have a tendency within us that disturbs us. We long for victory over sin, sins of thought and word and deed. And the Bible reveals that we are born radically wrong. We are members of a human race that has turned its back upon God. There's something inside that makes it easier to go wrong than to go right. And something evil seems to sap the human race. There's a bias in the bowl that takes it off course. There's a gravity that pulls us down when we want to rise high in spiritual attainment. And the secret is that something within us has died. The spiritual part of our being that God gave us has died because of sin. This is the reason why we can neither see nor enter the kingdom of heaven unless there is a radical change. And here is a great revelation from Holy Scripture, and we also know it in our own experience, that we cannot make this radical change ourselves. That God says you must have, you must know, you must experience if you are ever to see or enter the kingdom of heaven. Why the cross? Because on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for you. He bore your sin, sir, in his body on the tree. He was the only man who ever went through hell on earth. And he did it for you, to cleanse you from the stain of sin, to deliver you from the power of sin, to clear you from the penalty of sin, so that there can be nothing between you and God. Christ Jesus bore your sin in his body on the tree. So ladies and gentlemen, we come to this great conclusion tonight, that unless God is willing to do something about it, we are sunk, and there is no hope of us ever entering or seeing the kingdom of heaven. But here is the Christian gospel, ladies and gentlemen. Here is the good news, that God loves us. Because he loves us, he's willing, he's yearning to undertake this great change for us, but if we are willing. And because Christ has died and risen again, I have wonderful news for you here tonight. Hundreds of you here yearn to know what it is to be in the kingdom of God. Hundreds of you want to know the victory that God gives to those that belong to Christ. If you will repent, believe and confess, God will do the rest. He will come into your cleansed being that he now possesses, and he will live his life in you. He will give you eternal life, divine life. Right now you will enter the kingdom of heaven. And you will live in the kingdom of heaven whilst you're on earth. And when death comes, it won't be death. You'll be with Christ and you go into the glory of eternal heaven. That is what God will do for you tonight, if you will repent and believe and confess it.
Amen, right? Is that not what rejuvenation is? Rejuvenation is the power of the gospel to change lives. It takes us back to our original state. It puts us in a position to be right with God. It gives us a new hope, a new inspiration. Think about this message going out to all of your friends, all of your neighbors, all of your loved ones. Everyone in the world knowing this message could change our world. A message that says all of your regret, all of your guilt, all of your sorrow, all of the things that you are struggling with can go away if you are willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you're willing to turn around and repent and to change and to be the kind of person that God is calling you to be, our community could be turned around. The deaths that we're seeing in our communities could be gone. The sorrow that we see from broken families could be gone, because the gospel is the answer for rejuvenation. The gospel is the answer for changing our community. The key to rejuvenation, though, is that we do have to realize that there is only one gospel. only one. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are returning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking about the local guy that was trying to help Julie and I figure out how to go hiking? He sounded so smart, and the Galatians ended up struggling with the same type of people. They ended up with the same problems, struggles, and difficulties. They had Judaizing teachers that were coming through and saying, before you can be a Christian, you have to be a Jew. You have to be circumcised. You have to go through all these rites and rituals in order to be a believer. And Paul is telling them, no, you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because the fact of the matter is that we can't earn our salvation. All we can do is surrender to the will of God, to die to ourselves in baptism, to be buried with him, and to raise, to walk in a new kind of life. That is our only hope. That is our only opportunity. You see, the gospel is simple. It's plain. It doesn't need anything added to it. He says, if we or an angel, just like Joseph Smith came saying, oh, an angel told me the Book of Mormon. We don't need it. The gospel is simple and plain and powerful to change lives. Do you want rejuvenation? The answer is always the gospel. Well, I'm struggling in my marriage. The answer is the gospel, because Jesus died for his people and he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Fully surrender yourself as a spouse, and God will bring you through. Well, I'm hurting. I've lost someone I love deeply. The gospel is the answer. God gave his beloved son to die on the cross. He knows your hurts. He knows your pain. Whatever your struggle, the gospel is the answer. And it's the only answer. It's the answer that we have to take to a world of lost people. If we keep it locked up in this building, man, it doesn't do a whole lot, does it? I'm not filling a lot of people's ears. I'm not. I wish I was. I wish that this message could be spread throughout all the world through my lips to glorify my Lord and Savior. But we hit about 60 people in here and maybe 3 or 4 more come and look on the website. That message that I'm preaching you today, it's not changing the world because I'm standing up here. It's going to change the world when we get out and we start moving. You know, I wrote a song because, like everybody else, you know, I go through phases where my strength and my trust in the Lord grows weak. And there's times when we need to have a revival. We need that rejuvenation to come within us. We need it to grow within us and to swell within us. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing through this song and share it with you.
Lord, I remember the days when my soul was lost in your grace. I hung to your words like the pouring rain I felt revived again.
There was a power within. Your blood, it washed away my sin. You poured through my heart like a burning fire. Please light me up again.
Revive my soul again. By the power that comes from your unfailing hand, lift me up upon your mountain where you are. Let your spirit dwell within and light me up again.
Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now wanting to be a church full of rejuvenation, full of energy, setting aside our wills and our wants and our longings and really just making our hearts about being your children, believing wholly in your gospel, its ability to heal, to restore, to rejuvenate. Lord, my prayer is that this week, we will be a rejuvenated people who spreads this message, the message of your kingdom, to a world that's lost and in need. Lord, I pray that if there are those among us today who are in need of this gospel message, who are in need of the opportunity to die to themselves through baptism, to be buried with you in that watery grave and to rise again a new creation, that you will open their hearts, that you will prepare them, make them ready for your kingdom, Lord. And I pray that we would be available to do that. But Lord, I just pray that we will be guides to those who are lost and who need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing this song through one more time. And if you feel comfortable enough, please join in with us.
The days when my soul was lost in your grace, I hung to your words like the pouring rain. I felt revived again. There was a power within. Your blood, it washed away my sin. Poured through my heart like a burning fire. Please light me up again. Revive my soul again and let me stand by the power that comes from your unfailing. Up upon your mountain where you are, let your spirit dwell within and light me up again.